Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
He has risen.
Thank you, Lord.
He has risen.
That's right.
He has risen.
Thank you, Father.
Today is Sunday. Resurrection Day. It's a new beginning for everyone.
Yes.
Forget about the past.
Thank you, Father.
Step into the future.
Thank you, Lord.
Step into today because He has risen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Forgiveness today.
Thank you, Father.
Healing today. Salvation today. Do not leave the church today. If you are not saved
Hallelujah.
Without coming down to the altar,
right.
Do not leave the church today without coming down to the altar. If you just need to rededicate your life to the Lord, maybe you've been a little slow at serving God. But God says today is a new day. It's a new beginning. He has risen for you and I.
Thank you.
He died on that cross. But Sunday morning, when his mother and the other two ladies with her went in to preserve his body, they were wondering how they were going to get that huge stone pulled back, Pastor. But guess what? It was already done. Our God did that for us. Our God did that for you and me and you and me. So that we may be free. So that we have the right to walk around with our Bibles in our hand. So that we have the right to walk and talk about the gospel. So that we may be free. So that the shackles that are around my legs may break off and set me free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. He is alive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. So as we get started today, I felt like the Lord wanted us to stand together and read this passage. It is a common verse. Probably most of us have it memorized, but would you please stand? And we're going to read John 3:16 and 17 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Say amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So good morning, church. It's Happy Resurrection Sunday. And if you enjoyed your breakfast, would you wave your hand? And we just want to thank Jerome and Apostle Leonard for cooking this morning. I woke up really early this morning. The Lord just had me intercession. I was intercession in my sleep. Anybody intercession in your sleep? And at 3 o'clock, it's just like, I just might as well get up and go in my place and just pray. And so that's what I did. And so Leonard wanted to make sure I got him up at 5:30. And so he woke up at 5:30 right on time. I didn't have to go wake him up. He came out in my prayer area and said, I'm up. But anyway, he came in to cook breakfast. And my dogs wanted out. I've got 2 Rottweilers and 2 little dogs, and they wanted out the door. So I let them out, and I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention when I let them back in. But when I got to the step in the family room, there's a dead rabbit. Seraphim caught another rabbit. And she's getting really good at that. But normally, she doesn't get them all the way in the house. And Leonard's usually home to get the rabbit, right? I'm just like, oh, Jesus, help me. One less bunny in our yard this year, but you know, I got a shovel, but I still had to touch it, so I had to put gloves on to get it on there, and took it out, and we have a stray cat that we feed outside the garage, and so the last one we just laid out there, and it was gone in the morning, so I put it out there. It's like, it was probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, I just laid it out there. And sure enough, when I left for church, it's gone. So the cat got it. I'm sure the cat's happy. And Seraphim was very proud of herself. But anyway, that was my morning starting off. And yes, my gift. Yes, on resurrection morning, I don't want any rabbits. Yes, Easter bunnies, no. But anyway, good morning, church. And I'm, you know, if we had breakfast a little more often, I think that would probably be good. It's just a little bit of work, but did you enjoy the fellowship? Yes, it's so nice to sit down and eat with a family. You know, that is something that's really important because it's over food that you develop attachments. Relationship is built over food. You notice in the Old Testament, through the Word, they were always eating. The New Testament church, they were always eating. They were going from house to house eating. And so we want to be like a New Testament church. Hallelujah. So we do a lot of eating around here together. But that's how relationships are built. And that's why it's so important to have family meals. And you know, some parents have gotten so busy that they don't do that anymore. But that is the key to holding the family together and to really being able to sit down and relate and connect. And all that's free. It's not in my message. Hallelujah. It's Resurrection Sunday, and it's so nice to be here with all of you. And so today, all around the world, the global church is celebrating and remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross and the miracle of the empty tomb. And all of that released a divine power. The resurrection power dwells inside of us today. Thank you, Jesus, for that power. So we celebrate the risen Lord. Can we just say, he is risen? Let's say it again. He is risen. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited this morning. So the scripture passage we're going to take a look at is in the book of Matthew. And, you know, the resurrection can become so easily familiar to us because we've heard the story many times. If you've been a Christian, anyone here been a Christian over 5 years? Yeah. Anyone over 10 years? Anyone over 15? Do we have 20? All right. 25? Okay. Longevity. 30? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 35? Do we have 40 in the house? Look at that. We do. That's amazing. Thank you, Lord, for this great salvation. It's the only thing that's kept us for 40 years. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, as we read this, I just invite you to listen to this story once again and just let it revive in your hearts. But as we get going, I wanted just to share a little tidbit that I read this week. And it's a story about a conversation that took place in a Sunday school room. And this little girl named Mackenzie, she wasn't trying to start some theological debate, but her teacher was teaching that Jesus is everywhere. God is everywhere. And it was Resurrection Sunday, so she raised her hand. You know, she's very confident. And she said, well, there's one place God's presence cannot be found. And the teacher said, oh, is that right? Well, Mackenzie, where would that be? And very seriously, she replied, well, he's not in the tomb. True, right? Pretty smart little girl. She was really thinking that through because the tomb's empty. And so that was the same discovery that happened in the book of Matthew when the two Marys got to the tomb. They found that he was not there. And we're going to read this passage in Matthew 28, 1 through 6. Now, after the Sabbath, at the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Can you imagine? His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." So there was no doubt that Jesus was dead, because they had watched him being taken off the cross and placed in the tomb. And they watched them roll that heavy stone in front of the entrance. And there were guards that were placed there to make sure that nothing happened, that nobody came and stole the body. And the goal was that anyone that had been following Jesus would just give up because he was dead, he was sealed in the tomb, and nothing was going to happen. Because they honestly thought they had killed him and it was over. Nope is right. So, but then something happened. It says there was a violent earthquake. And the tomb was breached by an angel sent from God. You see, they might have put some Roman guards there, but they were no match for an angel that comes from God. That angel simply rolled back that stone. Rolled it back. And the guards, when they saw him, they were terrified. And they fell down as dead men. Imagine that. I'm sure they were really shook up, because they actually probably thought they had the easiest job that night to watch over a dead body. We're not expecting it to come out of the grave. So the angel greeted the women when they came up. And it really struck me when it said his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And I thought about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was white. His clothing was so bright, so white. And so this must be what the divine looks like. You know, this is a taste of, a glimpse of what's in heaven when this angel connected with earth. And there it was. And same way with Moses. Remember, Moses was in the presence of God, and his face was just glowing. The people couldn't even look at him. So the light must be amazing on the other side. Hallelujah. But just a little glimpse. They saw just a little glimpse of the majesty and the glory that is in the heavenlies. So the women, he told them not to be afraid. And so they took him in so they could see he was not there and that he was alive. So they showed him the place where Jesus laid, because these women, they were eyewitness testimonies, witnesses. Witness is a testimony, and they were an eyewitness to the risen Savior and the tomb being empty. So what a relief they must have felt, you know, to know that someone hadn't stolen the body. And they probably began to process and think about everything that Jesus had told them. You know, sometimes things happen in our life and we begin to remember Scripture, and we begin to remember some things that the Lord told us in our quiet time. And it like all comes to our mind. You know, and maybe this morning you came to church feeling empty, feeling in despair. Just like these women, you know, they had probably gone there not with much hope in their heart, because they thought he was dead. Their teacher, their friend, someone that they had enjoyed, they had shared joy with, they had shared meals with him, and they were heavy-hearted when they went in. And sometimes that happens to us when relationships go bad. When the recovery we thought was going to happen in our body doesn't happen. When there isn't any provision. When we're waiting on healing. Sometimes things just seem impossible. But remember, the tomb is empty. Our Savior is risen. And that one discovery changed everything for those women. And it turned the world upside down. And it flipped their despair to joy, and their distress to excitement, and their discouragement to encouragement. Only God can do that in our souls, church. He can turn it around in an instant. And He can still do that for us today. It's like the evangelist Smith Wigglesworth once said, there is nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief. Somebody say amen. I said guilty sometimes. Guilty is charged. Doubt and unbelief keeps us from receiving anything from the Lord. And so it's just a human tendency to try and logically work things out and figure that we come up short. And most of the time, our human thinking will be sure we came up short even when we're really not short. Have you ever noticed that? It's like you're sure you're not going to make it. And then you're just like, oh, hey, there's enough in the bank. Hey, I've got that payment. Hey. Are you hearing me? Isn't that true? Hey, I got a good report. I had 3 bad reports, but now I got a good report this time. It builds up our hope and our trust. And so don't put limitations on God. Don't put limitations on God. So this is the time of the year, as I said, the church gathers to remind itself that Jesus Christ has risen. And because of that truth, there is hope that anything is possible for us today. I look at what the Lord has done over the years in many of your families. And it is amazing how God has kept you, how God has blessed you, how God has prospered you, how God has grown you in the middle of all of the struggles. In the middle of the strain, you know, you don't build up muscles until you have a little resistance, right? And so when that resistance comes and the hope of God arises in our heart, we can push through and accomplish what God has asked us to do. Because God will move heaven and earth to help you do what He's asked you to do. Somebody say amen. He's not going to leave you alone. But He is going to be there to see you through. God's mercy changes us. The truth of Jesus' resurrection becomes a focal point for the New Testament authors. And they write about the impact of the risen Savior on people's lives. And Peter opens his letter in 1 Peter with this idea. Let's read this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us. Now in the NIV, that word begotten is new birth. He's given us the new birth. Again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There's an inheritance in heaven reserved for you. Say, it's reserved for me. I've got an inheritance from the Lord. It's in heaven, and it's reserved for me. You see, God knows what we need even when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. He's got an inheritance that does not fade away. Have you had anything fade away here in this earth? Something that you thought you would save and keep, but it just doesn't make it. Has that happened to you? Yeah, it does to all of us. To all of us. The lawnmower rusts out. Something happens. The blades go dull. I mean, there's all kinds of things. It's time to get out our mowers again, church. Yay! That's just a whole lot of extra work, isn't it? But God'll give us the strength. Amen? But Peter says we have a reason to celebrate this morning. And the reason is that God saw us in our broken and sinful state and graciously offered us mercy by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he defeated sin and death by conquering the grave. And I love the wording that Peter uses to describe it. He says that we are his begotten. He's given us a new birth. We're born again by the Spirit of God. We're his children. And this is just a common phrase throughout the Gospels to explain the way God changes us by the power of the resurrection, by having faith that the impossible can become possible. We're given a brand new start, free from sin, pure and unblemished, like a newborn baby. Like Jen and Gabe were holding this weekend, that newborn baby. And I remember when our first child was born, and our daughter came into the world on Father's Day. And it was so sweet, you know, and she was so sweet and so innocent looking, just a little newborn, just appeared to be perfect. And she had just entered the world and didn't know anything about that sting of disappointment, or the pain of loss, or the hurt of mistakes you've made. In so many ways, I wanted to just protect her from all of it. Anybody else feel that way about their children? Hallelujah. We just want to protect them from all of it. Well, when Peter, he wanted to help us understand that the living hope was a result of the resurrection. He said it is like a new birth. So we become pure, not on our own merit, but by the mercy of God. We become innocent, not in and of ourselves, but by the mercy of God. Our sins are washed clean because of the mercy of God. And then on top of that, he gives us an inheritance in heaven with God. You see, God changes our past, our present, and our future by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. He changes it all. He changes it all. Only he can reach into the past, be present in the present, and prepare for our future. What a God we serve. What an amazing God we serve. So do you realize today that the empty tomb is for you? Do you realize that the mercy of God is offered to you? And do you realize that you can experience a new birth today? You can be changed by placing your faith in the risen Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. It brings us a change of heart. The tomb is empty. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has ascended on high and is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And the scripture says he ever lives. He's eternally praying and interceding for us. Hallelujah. He told Peter that Satan would try to sift him like wheat, but he said, but I prayed for you. So in the midst of the battle, God is praying for you. Hallelujah. Let's give him a praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And that resurrection power is just working in our lives right now to change our hearts. Because the mercy of God is still available for all people. He doesn't give up on us. Just pat your chest and say, he doesn't give up on me. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you so thankful God didn't give up on you? Everybody's gone through some messed up stages in their life. You know, everybody's done things that they wish they had never done. However, God never gives up on us. You know, the Bible talks about a heart change, and that change comes from that word repentance. So the proper response when we hear about the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection would literally be to repent. To repent if there's anything in our heart. To repent of anything in our life and change our direction. I'm telling you, this is not a one-time thing. You know, I was on sabbatical for 3 weeks. There were many things I repented for. There were many changes that took place in my heart and in my life. Because, you know, we get blind to some of the things that we're doing and what's going on. You know, and when God begins to show you that, it's the time to repent because he's having mercy on us. You know, we don't know what's in our heart unless the Lord shows us. We might think we know someone else's heart, but we don't. Only God knows the heart. Only God can see on the inward. And so we've got to get with God and get some quiet time so he can show us where we need to change. Because I don't know about you. I don't want any blocks. I don't want any hindrances. I don't want anything to keep me from coming into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you were reading about the inheritance that's passed to the family and the seed of your body is blessed. It's like you don't want to be a hindrance to any seed either, to your children, because of the life you're living. Come on, I'm telling you, it can be transferred from generation to generation. The sins of the father can be transferred. The sins of the mother. It's like we need to live clean and pure as best as we can. And I'm not talking about getting super religious and super spiritual. I'm not talking about that. That stinks. Nobody wants that. But everybody wants the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, the closer we get to the Lord, the more the fruit of the Spirit flows out of us. And people just recognize that is around you. Thank you, Jesus. So the Apostle Paul makes it clear for us in the book of Romans what we need to do to be saved. Another familiar scripture, but let's read it together because it's important. Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the Apostle Paul says there's a two-step process. You declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life. This is a very important step. To say that Jesus is Lord is to say that he's in charge and that he calls the shots. Your life is not your own. You belong to him. So Jesus is Lord of my life. And when we voice that out loud, it's letting others know that we recognize Jesus as our authority. Come on, I want to live in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is right now. And in the kingdom of God, there's just one king, and it is King Jesus. And what King Jesus says goes. Hallelujah. I'm just a servant in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and you're Lord of my life. Can we say it together? Jesus, you're Lord of my life. Jesus, you're Lord of my life. Hallelujah. You call the shots, and you know what? He has the best shots, doesn't he? Ha! We think we know so much. But you know, our God sees the end from the beginning. And I'm so thankful when he goes, hey, hold on, Janet. Now just wait a minute. Because I'm ready to go. If I think that's the direction, I'll just charge ahead. Hallelujah. But the Lord is always faithful. He sets the reins and he pulls a little bit. Have you ever had that? You feel that little tug and it's like, oh, I better wait. I better pray again. Doesn't mean you didn't pray. It's just you didn't quite get the message. Because we get mixed with our emotions in it. Come on. And the spirit in it. Is that true? I'm talking to the right group. Number two, it says you believe in your heart that the impossible became possible. You believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. So that same power that raised Christ from the dead can bring new life to you as well. And this passage from Paul ends with a promise. He said, if you do these two things, you will be saved. It's not complicated. Come on, it's not complicated. Religion makes it very, very complicated. You know, the Pharisees would put up all kinds of obstacles and fences to keep the people from really getting close to God because they wanted to be the ones close to God and they wanted to be in charge of the people. Come on, we are not in charge of you. God is in charge of you. We expect the members of River of Life to hear God's voice and follow God's voice and do what the Lord is asking you to do. Come on. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen to the Lord. Ah, it's a most wonderful walk. Who would say yes? It's a wonderful walk. It's a glorious walk. Hallelujah. Scary at times. And that's why we have a church. That's why we have a family. That's why we have elders. That's why we have counselors. Because sometimes you need some extra wisdom and counsel. I'm not saying you need it all the time because we should be able to hear the Lord's voice. But there are times when we are making big decisions or we're just not sure. We need to ask a man or woman of God about what's going on. Come on. God loves his family, working together, praying together. We're on your team. We're supporting you. We're for you. We are not against you. And God says, I am for you. I am not against you. A family is a tribe that should stick together. Come hell or high water, we're not budging. Come on. Come on. I have a friend I ran into the other day, and she said, oh, Pastor Janet, I ran into someone who used to go to your church, and they got to talking, and all of a sudden they started talking really negative about you. And she said, you know what I told them? You're not talking like that in front of me, because I don't believe a word you're saying. You're not saying that to me. You can just end the conversation right now. And I said, well, thank you. So you know what? She don't go to this church, but she's got my back. We should have each other's back, church. Come on, we've got to have each other's back in this day and age. Because the devil is a liar, and he will try to destroy you, destroy your reputation, do whatever he can to take you out. Because you're a threat to his kingdom. Come on, we are smarter than that. Our members are smarter than that. Just tell your neighbor, I'm just smarter than that. You know, God doesn't have any dumb kids. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're smarter than that. We have the wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. It's just like, shut your mouth, you know? Hallelujah. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but according to Paul's passage, you are saved from the power of death, and you're saved from eternity without God. Can you imagine an eternity without God? People choose to go to hell. God does not send anybody to hell. People are making that choice every day that they would rather spend their time in hell than to spend eternally with God. Lord, help them. Get a hold of them and just shake them up a little bit, Lord. Yes, shake them up. And it also says we're saved from the wages of sin. The wages of sin produce death. Amen. I don't know who said it, but yep, it's death. The wages of sin is death. You'll get your paycheck someday. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is Resurrection Sunday. And every day we are blessed to celebrate our risen Lord and praise God, our Father. I just want to close with a story about a British minister. His name was W.E. Sangster. And he began to lose his voice and mobility in the mid-1950s. He had a rare disease that caused a progressive muscle atrophy. And he recognized the end was near. And so he threw himself into writing and praying in the midst of all of his suffering. He pleaded to the Lord, "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a regiment to lead." Sangster's voice eventually failed completely, and his legs became useless. And on resurrection morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen and shakily wrote his daughter a letter. And in it he said, "It is terrible to wake up on resurrection morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Hallelujah. Can we stand this morning if you have a voice and we're just going to shout together, "He is risen"? I'm going to wait for everybody on their feet. If you can stand, if you don't have the strength, I understand. Okay, 1, 2, 3. "He is risen." Hallelujah. Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3. "He is risen." Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. John 11:25-26. Let's read this last passage. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this?
Hallelujah.
Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Hallelujah. We have eternal life right now. Right now. You'll never die. You know, your body may go back to the grave, but your soul and spirit will live eternally with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you've never invited the Lord into your heart this morning, we're all going to bow our heads and say this prayer. And I encourage you to pray it along with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I repent of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and to be Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I want to trust you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we celebrate. The tomb is empty. He is risen. Give the Lord a praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And at this time, Brother Jeff.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. He is risen. And I thank you, Lord.
Wander into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I tried with all my mind, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, vagabond.